Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Very nice, Carl Middleman. Second Amendment Radio, the great outdoors, and so glad you're along with us today. You know, right now I want to focus a little bit on this situation that happened up in Highland Park in Illinois, north of Chicago, and the tragedy that unfolded there on the 4th of July parade. They've caught the scumbag who did it. He's admitted to doing it. Somehow, though, all the focus is on the gun. And I thought, who better to get on here than my friend Mark Walters, host of Armed American Radio. And, of course, he's also a spokesman for the Second Amendment Foundation. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Oh, Mark, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, it's odd. I think that I found out just a day or two ago that Highland Park has banned AR-15s, which would lead one to question how one managed to get into the city and be used by a criminal to commit a criminal act.
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's actually a little bit deeper than that. So let's touch them all. They also require FOID cards. They also have red flag laws. And quote unquote, assault weapons are banned in Highland Park, as you just mentioned. So I'm going to assume that the city's force field that stops criminals from carrying illegal things in town must have been broken.
I watched this. I listened to the debates. I listened to our former senator here, Claire McCaskill, lecture me on MSNBC this week about the fact that I don't need a high-capacity magazine to protect my home. I don't need it to hunt. Therefore, I don't need it at all. Because only snipers need high-capacity magazines, she tells me.
Actually, snipers only need bolt actions, depending on how good the sniper is.
Yeah, right.
But I'm going to digress there. That's just from a conversation I had with one of America's most prolific snipers. But what does he know, right?
Well, sure.
Look, this is more. We're watching the left go absolutely insane right now. You're seeing Hochul in New York go absolutely haywire. You know, trying to because of the slapdown in the Bruin case, of course. Now the assault weapons ban, and I hate to use that term, Mark, but we'll use it because that's what people hear in the news, unfortunately. And while we correct the fact that there is no such thing as an assault weapon, let's just use the phrase that people understand that might not know about all these things as to the degree that we do. So we'll refer to it as that. But the case in the Fourth Circuit in Maryland, all of these cases, including California's assault weapons ban and high-capacity magazine ban, have been remanded back to the lower courts by the Supreme Court to re-rule, if you will, and rehear those cases with the guidance of Bruin. So these are all going to get smacked down as unconstitutional because of the strength of Thomas's opinion in the Bruin case. That's why they've been remanded back down to the lower courts. And this is just proof positive, again, that there is no law that will stop evil, period. And listen, if the anti-gunners out there can tell me the one law that is not on the books, I'll support them. But they can't, because one does not exist. These are the things that we know. This is pie in the sky. Feel good. We've got to do something. Chris Murphy said it yesterday. I covered it on my radio show, Mark. He said that while we're trying to do everything, we can't. So we've got to try to do something until we can get everything. That tells me right now that he's not going away. That is not the statement from a man who got what he wanted in his gun control bill and is going quietly into the night. These people will never quit.
Well, you get a glimpse behind the curtain when they say things like that. And you know what they're really after. You know what Claire McCaskill's after. You know what Chris Murphy is after. Because here we have an example of a bill that was passed that, yeah, supposedly sends money out to strengthen red flag laws. Well, in this case, they have red flag laws. They had a ban on the type of weapon that was used. As far as I know, murder is already illegal. The criminal in this case didn't care about any of that. And he's 21 years old, so the ban on guns from 18 to 21 would have done no good. It's just one more example after another. I even heard Andrew McCabe, former FBI deputy director, admit this week on MSNBC, this shows the flaw in red flag laws. Because if you don't see something and say something, and most often that falls on family members, it does no good.
This is what we refer to as just plain old Monday morning quarterbacking.
Yeah.
Look, the facts and the truth are clear. We can look back in the rearview mirror and see everything we need in hindsight. But as human beings, we have not yet developed the sense that allows us to predict the future. Background checks look back. They do not look forward. If someone has evil intention, we don't know about it until they act on that evil intention. Sometimes we get lucky. And this guy telegraphed what he wanted to do. But the media calls him out. A rapper. He's no rapper. He's just some stupid face tattooed moron that would be out of place in a tattoo parlor that put a stupid video up on YouTube, and the media refers to him as an aspiring rapper. He's just an idiot.
Yeah. Yet again,
we see the same signs that we saw from every one of these other killers, but we don't see them until after the fact.
That's a good point. He very much looked like the kid in high school who was probably bullied, maybe shoved in a locker a time or two, just eyeballing him. And I'm not saying that drives everybody to do something like this, but he was a social outcast. He had some followers on Spotify for his music, but at the end of the day, the same questions arise. Why did his parents agree to stand up for him to get an FOID card, right? So in Illinois, I don't know how they're doing it in other places in the country, you have to go through a double background check to get a concealed weapon or to buy a gun. You go through the state background check to get the FOID card before you can go to the gun store to go through the ATF background check or the FBI background check. I mean, it's crazy, and they still couldn't prevent this.
No, and that's because no law will prevent it. By the way, the FOID cards are likely going to go the way of the dodo bird and the dinosaur as well here in the near future, because something tells me that Paul Revere and George Washington didn't have to apply for a FOID card to manufacture their own firearms or to purchase one at a gun shop known at the time during the day. So, look, again, we need to focus on what we know is happening here, okay? There are similarities. Now, I'm not going to pin everything on social media, but I am going to tell you that none of this happened when I was a child. None of this happened when you were a child. And when we were kids, we didn't have the proliferation of social media, instant information to provide hate and to support our hateful actions. I mean, all you've got to do is look at Twitter. It's filled with hate and rage, and this is people's real attitudes coming out. Social media is a scourge on society, and it allows – look, I have kids. And it angers me when I see my son spending all day on his phone flipping through this thing. He'll be 18 in September. These are not issues that we had to face when we were kids. But the fact remains that there are similarities. We see this by looking back after every – this is where we need to focus our attention, Mark, is what is driving these people? What is enabling their hate? And I can point to 24-hour instant information via a biased news, and I can point to social media that is allowing this type of activity to proliferate in circles that you and I, it's hard for us to understand because we didn't grow up with that.
Sure.
When we got into it with kids, we got into a fist fight, and the two of you pretty much wound up friends because you were forced after school for suspension to have to pick up garbage together. And I'm giving you a real life example of my own life. Okay.
Well, it's true.
And you wound up becoming friends.
And in my high school, it came to a fist fight, at which point we had worked out our issues. And I later became friends with a guy, and we studied together in college. I mean, yeah. You used to work those things out, and now, had we gotten into that fist fight at school, we would have both been suspended, both the person who was attacked and the other one who participated, and none of that ever gets worked out.
Yeah, you would have gotten suspended today if you called somebody by the wrong pronoun. I mean,
this is true.
This is crazy. It's crazy times we're living in. But obviously, all of this is tied together. Now, psychologically, trying to figure that out, that's above my pay grade. I go right down to the bottom line. And that is, we've got to focus on what are the similarities and what can we do to stop them.
I think it's a great point. Mark Walters, our guest today, host of Armed American Radio and also a spokesman for the Second Amendment Foundation. Always great to get him on here. Here's what I pointed out this weekend. I don't know if this gets me in trouble with my libertarian friends out there or the people that don't want any restrictions whatsoever. And I'm very cautious on these red flag laws because you have to make sure people's rights are addressed, and that if they're suspended, it's done so by a court of law. But when I look at these situations and I hear that this Cremo kid once threatened to kill his entire family, even though he only had assault knives at the time, and the police came and took those assault knives away, and then he was supposedly referred to mental health counseling or something like that. I know he had not committed a crime at that point, but we have got to figure out a way that if the words murder everyone or shoot up my classroom ever come out of your lips, That should come up in a background check.
Yeah, and you know, this goes, what you're talking about here, this is a great conversation because it needs to be had, and it's not being had by the left-wing media and the left-wing politicians who are simply pushing their political agenda. So we're going to blow right past those morons because that's what they are. They're just seeking power and dancing on the graves of dead people to gain more political power. What we have to look at, first off, I ask my listeners, how do you put due process into a red flag process that is unconstitutional on its face? How do you add due process to something that is not due processable and is unconstitutional on the surface?
Right.
It's impossible to do, number one. And number two, these are not criminal accusations. So trying to say that this person has a right to an attorney in a process where an accusation is being made by someone they may not even know, this all turns the judicial system upside down, and we've just witnessed it on multiple occasions. New York has red flag laws, failed in Buffalo. Illinois has red flag laws, failed. The day after Gavin Newsom signed two more gun control bills, just 2 days ago, another mass shooting in Sacramento, Mark. Okay? Criminals don't follow the law, so let's blow past the morons that think a new law is going to do something. And I use that word something because that's what they say. We've got to do something that does nothing. And let's start focusing on what it is and trying to find out what is making these people so angry. Look, this goes back to parenting. It goes back to households. Okay? Look, we've got to be honest here. Guess what, guys? It is not okay to have orange hair and tattoos on your face. That's not acceptable. Unless you're a tattoo artist. Okay?
Yeah.
Look, what kind of job are you going to get? Let's get real. Let's go back to basics here. Let's start parenting. Okay, my daughter's 19 years old. She's got a couple tattoos. They're not visible unless you ask to see them, and they're not on her face.
No, I like that. I see the point. So what I keep hearing from the left here, Mark, as part of the conversation that we need to have, and I agree on this completely, is that, well, there are limitations because you can't scream fire in a crowded theater. No, you can't scream fire in a crowded theater because you cause panic. And if you do something like that, we need to find a way to make sure that gets noted somewhere, because normal people don't ever threaten to kill their entire family or threaten to shoot up their entire school. So these should have been red flags planted very boldly when these actions took place. And instead, we have a system designed to cover those up because maybe it happened when they were a juvenile, and we don't want this to follow them their entire lives. There have to be exceptions to that.
Yeah, we don't want to hurt. Listen, liberalism says everything's okay, guys. Everything's all right. It's normal. No, orange hair, men dressing up as women is not normal behavior, and somehow it's become normal behavior. Look, we've got to be able to have these conversations in reality without being canceled and blacklisted. Okay. When you tie all of this together, you can look back in hindsight. And again, hindsight is very powerful. It's high definition when we look back in the rearview mirror. Okay. Things are closer when we look back in the rearview mirror because we can see them clearly. Yes. And there are signs after the fact. Now, you know, at some point you got to take issue too. How many times have you heard you say, I mean, maybe you even said, God, if my wife does that again, I'll kill her. God,
but you
don't mean that you're going to kill her. It's a figure of speech. So where do you draw the line? Now, here you've got a kid in a school that hears a kid say, my dad took my car away from me. I'm going to kill him. He does it again. Well, is he threatening to kill his dad or is it just a euphemism? Is it just a figure of speech that he's using? And the next thing you know, you've got a teacher who overhears the conversation. And at 4 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday, the cops are pounding on this guy's door, taking his personal stuff because of an accusation, because of a red flag law. This is a very dangerous situation. But we do know what abnormal behavior is. We're just not allowed to say it anymore. People are afraid to say it.
Could not.
We've got to get away from that and start being. Oh, it's got to be okay to say these things from this point forward.
I would agree with that as well, Mark Walters. That is a fantastic point. I want to turn your attention for a moment though to the other end of this. We've got people sitting in jail in Washington for the January 6th situation at the Capitol. While people who attacked federal buildings in Portland and Seattle in the summer of 2020 never even got prosecuted. One reason that happened is that George Soros-backed prosecutors got put in office and they used prosecutorial discretion to change the judicial system. That's what they're doing. One of them is a guy named Alvin Bragg up in New York. I know you saw this story.
Yeah.
Guy runs working at a convenience store, gets in an argument with a woman who tried to use her EBT card to buy some chips, and there was no money left on it. She got in an argument with him, ran home, told her boyfriend, who ran back to the store, went behind the counter and started attacking the guy. He grabs a knife that he uses to open boxes with, and he stabbed him. And he's now facing attempted murder charges for defending himself.
Right.
It's out of control.
Well, what you're seeing and what you've just described going all the way back to January 6th is when you say prosecutorial discretion, this is where the agenda-driven policies come into play. This is agenda-driven politics. We need look no further than Chicago as an example. We've got the woman up there that needs sleep, Mary or Lightfoot or Lighthead or whatever her name is up there, the mayor in Chicago, where we see a Uvalde, Parkland, and Highland Park killing spree numbers every single week in that city that goes unnoticed by the mainstream press. And that's a story in another. We could do an hour on that together alone. But what we have here is I have drawn the conclusion that these people simply do not care. Their political agenda, this liberal world order, clearly means more to them than anything else. There is no other rational explanation for why this continues to happen, because we know we can stop these things. But yet it never gets done. They place blame. You know, you've got the mayor up in Highland Park, Illinois, blaming Indiana and Missouri for allowing guns to come across the border when the laws in her own city fail. It's always place blame elsewhere with these liberal Democrats that hate your right to keep and bear arms, tying it specifically to the right to bear arms. I could go off in a lot of different directions and rights and freedoms they hate, but we're focusing on this in particular. And they're blaming other cities and other laws in other cities that somehow, because their laws are failures.
Well, these people are
not held accountable.
We had that same problem in the city of St. Louis as well, with people not being held accountable. It's embarrassing. Mark Walters, listen, my friend, always great to get your common sense on this radio station. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark Cox. Appreciate it. Keep up the fight, brother.
Yes, I sure will. We appreciate that. Host of Armed American Radio. He also is a spokesman of the Second Amendment Foundation at AAR Mark, if you want to follow him on Twitter. All right, a quick break here. We're going to talk to a local family that is honoring their son, who they lost tragically a couple of years ago, with an event that you can take part in all to raise money for the Leukemia Society. It's coming up next on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.